Welcome, welcome into my space. So today we're going to be discussing the primordial mother wound, which I've been kind of getting into quite a bit on my Instagram page and in my work, actually. It's my work with clients that really brought this to my attention, as well as and my own journey, my own journey of awakening and my own journey in healing, really brought this to my sort of the forefront of my work. And then of course the disease that cannot be named activated this really deep ancient wound for healing. And so today I'd like to discuss what it is. What is the primordial mother wound? Why do we all have it, and how do we heal it? So what is it? The primordial mother wound is like, let's say, the mother of all wounds. It is the core distortion at a soul level. It is our first miasm. A miasm is an inherited pattern of disease, or pattern of toxicity, or a susceptibility towards a certain disease. And it's passed on intergenerationally through our ancestral line, or intragenerationally, so within the same generations, through, you know, socio-cultural phenomenon, or even through the family, you know, dynamics, or through just regular relationships, we can pass on miasms. But the primordial mother wound is the first human miasm, the first miasm of humanity. It's what we can consider the root cause, the root of the root of the root of the root cause of all of our sort of pathologies, all of our diseases, all of our distortions. It all comes down to this one sort of core wound we all have. And this wound is the wound of sort of the an illusion of separation, or an illusion of being exiled or ejected out of the dimension of oneness. So there is this, the illusion of duality, and it's a wound because it's an illusion, because it's a distortion. And, you know, I studied at one point in my bachelor's education, I took a class on creation stories, and we studied, you know, several creation stories from different spiritual traditions all around the world, some of the, you know, larger religions, and then of course some of the smaller spiritual traditions, or I don't want to say smaller, but the not what we wouldn't consider, you know, maybe the lost spiritual traditions. And the thing that they all had in common was that there was, at the origin of humanity, there was the feminine and the masculine principles, and that they were in union. They were one with all that is, with all of nature, with all of creation, and they were in the divine presence. And then there suddenly was some kind of split or an awareness that came to the feminine and the masculine, where there was this illusion of separation, or an awareness of being separate or individual. So there was this sense of being differentiated from the other. And you know, the common story that many of us know is the story of our first parents, Sayyidina Adam and Sayyidina Hawa, or Adam and Eve, alayhum assalam. And the story, in that story, they're actually ejected out of the Garden of Eden, right? They're ejected out of paradise. And we can understand that as a metaphor of that when they received the ego, when they received the concept of the self, the blessing, Sister Vicky, and hello, Nadia, I see you and all your family. I hope your kids are here. So when they received that sense, that awareness that they are different, or that they are can be differentiated from the rest of creation, is the moment that they received the ego. And in all of the creation stories, that was a moment of pain. That was a moment of wounding. There was that sense of being sort of forsaken by that dimension of oneness, or pushed out or exiled from that dimension of oneness. And so that core wound, that wound of that sort of within the collective mind and within our ancestral memory, that wound of being ejected or sort of rejected from the dimension of oneness has always been with us. It's encoded in all of our memories. It's encoded in our DNA. There is a cellular, a deep cellular, ancient memory that we received this knowing, when we received this knowing of the self, that it was a moment of grief or a moment of wounding, because it was a distortion. Because the truth is that, yes, we can be differentiated. We are separate beings in this time, space, reality. But in truth, we are still in a dimension of oneness, that there is a part of us, our spirit, our essence, that is incorruptible and is always in the presence of God, in the presence of the divine, in the presence of everlasting love, in the presence of peace. And it's one with all that is. It's one with creation. It's one with our creator. But the soul, which is sort of an emanation of that pure essence, that pure uncorruptible spirit, is what can be sort of received distortions or can be corrupted. That's when it started to differentiate between the self and the other. And so all of our souls have this memory of separation from the divine, from that dimension of oneness with all that is. And it's a wound that is sort of, you know, it's a core wound that our first, you know, the first humans experienced, or the first consciousness, the first human consciousness experienced. But it has been exacerbated and sort of it accumulated over the thousands of millennia through our ancestors' experiences, and through, you know, the collective experiences as well. So industrialization and sort of, you know, all these isms that are based on materialism and these hyper materialist isms like capitalism and socialism and all these things that humans invented along the way, it just exacerbated that wound. It aggravated that wound because we became further and further, we disconnected even further from our true nature, which is oneness with all that is. And now we exist in a time, you know, our ancestors, at least, or, you know, if you go back a few hundred years, and most indigenous peoples of the world, they live in alignment with the cycles and the cycles of nature. They still work with with nature as if they are part of nature, not that they are separate or above nature or different from nature. But we live in the contemporary world now with, you know, our devices and our electronic stuff and all this artificial sort of stimulation that we get. We are even more disconnected from nature and from that dimension of oneness. And so that has just only been sort of exacerbated in our psyche. And when we are incarnated, you know, when we go through, the soul goes through the journey of coming from wherever it comes from before into the earth plane, it begins to constellate its and organize itself, organize its multidimensionality. The soul is a multidimensional entity, and it has many layers to it. It begins to organize its itself, it's the expression of itself, around what it knows. And there is what it knows is this core wound, which we call the primordial wound. And I call it the mother wound because it very much is the wound, a wounded feminine. It's a wound of the feminine principle in particular. And the reason for that is because, you know, we have in the dimension of oneness, the masculine and the feminine are one. It's a dynamic. One cannot exist without the other. They're in this sort of this beautiful dance with each other, but they are one thing with a that that has this dynamic balance between it and is articulated in many ways. The masculine principle, the main force of the masculine is an active force, right? Is a focused driven force. It's a movement. The masculine principle is a principle or a force or an energy of movement and of action. And so that movement of moving from oneness to this dimension of duality, or to this dimension of where we have to exclude things, you know, the masculine principle, it compartmentalizes things, it excludes things because it has activity or action as its core force, whereas the feminine principle at its core is the opposite, right? It's in this dynamic balance. It's a force, or it's a principle of stillness and of softness and inclusion. And so within the feminine principle is the holding of the oneness and keeping things whole as one. So we can think of it like the womb of the feminine, or the womb of the mother is holding the oneness of the mother and the baby together, right? And it's very much sort of against the feminine principle to move things from, to separate things, to move things from shadow into light, or to take, you know, to separate the darkness from the light, and to try to make a movement between the darkness into the light. There is a pain there. There is a pain of separation within the feminine when we start to acknowledge the two, or when we start to differentiate the two. And we can kind of understand that, you know, with if you're a mother and you've had a womb and you've carried babies in your womb, that sense of, you know, that a lot of mothers feel of like, this is the safest place my baby's ever gonna be, is here inside my womb, and not ever wanting to really let go of the baby. There's both. There's the wanting the baby to emerge and to grow and to thrive, but there's also this wanting to keep the oneness of the mother and baby together. And we also have that, you know, as we see our children grow, there's always, you know, at least for me, there's this sense of like, oh, I love to see them grow, and I love to see them expand and change, and that experience the dynamism and the movement of life. But at the same time, there's this like, oh, I want them to stay small forever, right? And there is this little bit of pain there that they are individuating, that they're separating, that they are moving away from that oneness. And so the wound, that core wound that we all experience of separation with the divine, from the divine presence, and with all of creation, this, which is again an illusion, it's not in reality. We are always, God is always with us and always present, and in reality we are one with all that is. But that core illusion is very much a wounding of the feminine principle, and it's a very much a wounding of the mother. And so it's a bi-directional pain. The pain is moving both ways. There is the pain of individuation that the mother feels, the grief of the mother, just like, you know, our Mother Earth feel, just as much as we feel ejected or forsaken by nature. The Mother Earth also has this consciousness that we have forsaken her, especially in the past few hundred years with industrialization and the abuses that we have inflicted upon the Mother Earth. She also grieves. She also grieves our individuation and our this wounding that we feel that we are separate, and therefore we can do as we need to do for ourselves without that relationship to the oneness with all that is, right? That what we do to ourselves, we actually do to the whole. We've lost that sense. And so the wound is felt by both energies, by both sides of the dynamic, by both the mother and the child, right? And the grief is felt by both. And that's the soul, when it organizes its reality here on Earth, right? It comes into an agreement with the Creator on what it's supposed to learn here on Earth, what its purpose and mission is here on Earth. It It begins to organize and constellate certain archetypes and narratives and karmic agreements for us to be able to do that here on the earth. And that organization is very much based on that first core wound, because the soul, remembers that wound. And so the primary motivation actually for everybody is that to return to that sense of oneness, to realign the soul with pure spirit, right? With our pure spirit. And that realignment, that sort of that sense of wanting to return to that oneness is how the soul begins to constellate itself. What does it need to do? What does my earthly reality need to experience so that my soul can return back to that, or to remove that veil or that illusion of separation that it holds, that wounding that it holds? How does it heal that core wound? And so all of sort of the other pains, pathologies, suffering, diseases we have, are teachings essentially for us to clear that very first wound, or that illusion of separation, that primordial mother wound, the grief of knowing that we are both separate and one at the same time. The soul constellates and designs our egoic soul, so that we can heal that core wound. And so it will manifest in our lives in many ways. And for some people, it will be, you know, an exact representation of that wound, right? So there could be sort of issues of the womb. So female hormonal issues, for example, which we know there's an increase in female hormonal issues, or women's health issues. So any kind of ailments or diseases, diseases or pathologies of the womb really points back to the wounded feminine. But there's also, you know, many iterations of this, and we experience this wound over and over again in our lifetime through our own personal experiences, but also as a collective. And so, you know, as a collective, we see it manifesting as abuse towards the Mother Earth, and abuse or aggression towards women and the feminine principle. We see whole cultures, you know, I don't think that there's a single culture on the planet right now that does not sort of either erase or abuse the woman, whether it's, you know, just a degradation or desecration of the feminine principle, or it's actual oppression of women and their children. That is still an expression of this core wound that we are all being called to heal, both on a personal level and on a collective level. And you know, the disease that cannot be named in homeopathy, we have this, you know, it's actually an alchemical principle that chronic disease is shown to us through acute episodes. So an acute is basically something that has a beginning and an end. Sometimes it ends in death, but there is an ending, right? Or that the ending can move into a chronic. But a chronic disease doesn't have an ending. It continues and it keeps going. And the disease that cannot be named, I'm not going to say it here because I've been shadow banned on Instagram for over 2 years now because I talked about it a little bit. That disease, anytime we have an epidemic, an epidemic is basically a collective acute. Anytime we have a personal acute or a collective acute, basically an acute, what it's doing is it is opening a pathway for detox, right? It's opening a place for us to release toxicity and pathology or distortions. If the acute, once the acute is resolved, the chronic that was sort of has been there and maybe lying dormant or maybe not. Maybe we've been experienced the chronic disease or the manifestations of the chronic sort of pathology our life for our whole life, whether through it's our like patterns and relationships or through our physical body or through cultural and societal norms. That chronic, when the acute resolves, the chronic will have been activated to be healed. So the disease that cannot be named came here, you know, in alchemy, disease and healing are the same thing. Poison and medicine are one. So when you are given the disease, you are also given the medicine. It's in the disease. It's just like Rumi's saying, the wound is where the light enters you. The wound is where you receive the medicine, is how you receive the medicine. Or these pains you feel are messengers from the beyond. The pains that you feel have the medicine that you need in them. And so the disease that cannot be named came and it activated within us as a collective this primal wounding that we all have, and that's been sort of, you know, demonstrated for millennia over and over in individual lifetimes and in whole, you know, collective lifetimes as well, and in civilizations, and it's had many iterations and many articulations. But this core wound has come up now to be healed. The way that the way that you heal something is you acknowledge it. The way that you heal something is you witness it, you allow it to be, and then it can be moved out. The way you don't heal something, the way you create more dis-ease or more wounding or more suffering, is you deny it, you suppress it, you cover it up, you put a band-aid on it, you try to change it, or you just deny that it's there altogether. You refuse to look at it, we refuse to see it, we refuse to acknowledge it. That will just exacerbate the wounding. Healing requires us going into the pain, right? Because the wound is where the light enters. If we want the light, we have to go into the wounding. And so I have designed a portal where we can do just that. Because the primordial mother wound is very much a wounding of our sort of the womb and the journey of our soul coming to earth via the womb holds within it the consciousness and the metaphor of humanity moving from the realm of the souls to the earth plane. And so as we pass through the womb, there are certain thresholds and gateways held by certain glands and organs, like the follicle of the ovary, the egg of the ovary, the placenta, the umbilical cord, the amniotic fluid. They have information physical for the physical sort of development of the human being, but they also have psychological information. They also have spiritual information, and they are coding us along the way with everything that we need to complete our mission and our agreement with our Creator here on Earth, so that we can return our soul back to its original state, back in alignment with that dimension of oneness where our pure spirit is and always resides and always will be. The journey of the womb very much has within it all of the knowing that we need to be able to heal the different distortions that we have sort of received, whether it be through experience in our lifetime or through the soul's organization of our reality here on Earth. It has all the information we need to heal and to come back into that alignment with oneness, with all that is. And so the soul, as it's moving into the earth plane, it crosses over certain thresholds and certain gateways where it's receiving both the information of the distortion, right? So it's receiving the distorted understanding, it's receiving the wounded understanding, the wounded perception, the understanding of separation. So it's constellating the ego. The ego is the part of us that we all have and that we cannot kill. Actually, there's no such thing really as ego death. We need to have an ego, because if we didn't have an ego, imagine we would all go mad. If we all thought we were walking around, you know, being one with all that is, we need to have an ego to survive the earth plane, right? The soul constellates the ego with whatever distortions it needs, whatever wounding it needs, so that it can learn through the law of opposites or through the teaching of opposites what its true essence is, or what the true authentic self expression is. And it also, as it's constellating the ego and the different dimensions of itself, the soul, it also encodes with us the medicines and the healing and the knowing that we need to heal those wounds. And so I've designed a portal where we are going to, through the energetics of the womb, through homeopathic preparations of different parts of the womb, or the womb of birth in particular, we will receive the activations that our soul gave us, but consciously. So when we were moving through our mother's womb, we were receiving these activations, physical activations, psychological activations, spiritual activations, and certain templates. We were receiving certain templates and blueprints along the way, but we were unconscious, we forgot, right? When we arrive here on earth, something happens and we forget. That's part of also the dimension of duality. That in oneness, there is no forgetting, right? You're always in a state of remembrance. But in this world of duality, where there is this illusion of separation, or there's this veil between us and that dimension of oneness, we can forget. So we have forgotten. So when we are born, we go through this sort of amnesia, and the soul and the ego forgets what the soul taught it. So through this portal, we'll be able to, through the energetics of the womb of birth, taking certain the certain gateways or the thresholds of the womb of birth, like the ovary, the placenta, the amniotic fluid, the umbilical cord, vernix, and the milk of the mother. Those are the different sort of initiations that the soul goes through when it's coding our ego and our journey here on earth. We'll be taking those in homeopathic form. So that's just an energetic imprint of those substances. And when we take them, things are going to start emerging. We're going to be receiving the activations, but consciously now. And we'll be doing it as a group in a group container. And I will be your guide through it. And I will just be your companion, your doula, the facilitator for you. And so that's another live. Hopefully I'll go into that a little bit more. I don't know if I'm gonna do another live, or we'll just, I don't know, this whole tech stuff. I don't know how social media is. We'll see if it's gonna be a live or an actual class. But I do have a class, a free workshop on Sunday. And you can follow the link in my bio to sign up, where I'm going to be discussing in more detail the different stages that the soul is constellating our ego and the different archetypes and agreements it makes along the way. Of course, this is, you know, we're going to be discussing things in the realm of archetypes, because those are sort of what allows us to find our commonalities between each other and speak in more universal terms. But all of us have a specific and an individual path, and a very specific and unique soul blueprint or soul template, and our path and our journey here on earth all looks different, sort of in appearances, right? In the material realm, it looks different. We experience different things, but the teachings and the learnings are essentially the same. They're essentially to bring your soul back in alignment with your pure spirit, with your pure essence, and to allow to liberate sort of that light within you, that pure light within you, to be expressed fully and completely and freely. So that to basically to release and discard and to let go of the distortions. And so through this portal, we'll be activating within us the different soul, the different levels of our souls, that the initiations that we went through in utero. But we'll be doing so consciously so that we can look at the wound, so we can see what is hurting within us, so we can bring that darkness or bring it out of the shadows into the light, and then that's when it can be integrated and dissolved and released. And so I hope I covered. I feel like I talked so fast. Do you guys have any questions? Deep healing wound work, this is. Yes, this is what, you know, in homeopathy, there's different levels, of course, because the soul is multi-layered and multi-dimensional. There's different levels of healing. This is what we would consider the root cause of all sort of disruptions and disturbances and pathologies that we have. Like, our soul organized everything around this one distortion, right? So if we can go back and heal that one distortion or that one misbelief, or that one inversion of truth, then essentially we can be healing ourselves as a whole, right? We're bringing ourselves back into wholeness. And so I'm really excited to share this with you guys. I don't know anybody else that is doing this. You know, homeopaths do offer this as individual, on one-on-one clients. And this is actually how I came to this. The disease that cannot be named came in and started activating this miasm in the collective, I started getting, like, one after another, my clients were all women, and they were all having issues where the center of gravity was the wounded feminine. It was all sort of organized around their all of their dis-ease, all of their disturbance, all of their toxicity, whether it be in the physical body or through relationships and patterns and patterns in behavior, or patterns in the way they relate to the world around them, was gravitating around this central wound. And, you know, I have this knowing that when things come in threes for me, that God is confirming that this is a truth and that I need to be to share it. It's a truth within me, and it's a truth within the collective, and that's something that everybody needs to heal. And so this is really, really the deepest kind of healing, because we're going to the very core. We're working on the soul level. And, you know, homeopathy is an energetic medicine, and so it works with the energy body. We're not actually putting any physical substances or material substances in our body. We're only putting energetic information in our body. And so that it's our higher self, actually, that's going to be working with the medicine and be showing us the way. It's our energy body or our higher self that's going to be directing this healing. All I'm doing is basically going to be holding space and holding the container for it. So there will be things that will be activated within the body, within the psyche, within the emotional body, within the spiritual body, in the mental body. And we're going to be holding space for that so that we can witness it and so that we can allow it to be dissolved and disintegrated. This is our call as a collective right now. We are being asked to do this. The whole planet is shifting. Mother Earth herself is healing this wound. We are trying to come back as a collective into the consciousness of oneness. We can see this just in, you know, the internet, how suddenly the world is all connected. There are certain expressions in our material reality that is showing that the spiritual reality has already moved towards that, that the whole planet is moving back to this alignment with the dimension of oneness, that to this knowing that we are nature, we are not separate from nature. That we are not meant to subject nature, but that we are supposed to work in alignment and with co-create with nature, right? We're supposed to be stewards of the earth, not abusers of the earth, right? We're supposed And so the whole planet is shifting. That's why we got this epidemic, because it's a collective activation. And so we are being asked as a collective to shift into this. And that's also one of the reasons why I'm doing this as a group, because we are being asked to do this as a group. And basically we either upgrade, we either, activate and expand our awareness, or we are going to perish, because the earth is moving in that direction where we have to, where we are going to be speaking and living in a world of frequency. We're not going to be living in this reality anymore where it's just the material reality and nothing else exists. The unseen world doesn't exist. We are moving into a consciousness, the earth herself is moving into that consciousness, right? And so we either move with the earth and we get upgraded with our Mother Earth into this dimension of consciousness and oneness and realignment, or we perish, because she's not, there's not going to be room for this distortion anymore. And so it is very deep healing work, and I welcome any of you guys to come to ask me questions if you want to know more. I know I speak really quickly. Do you guys have any questions? Should I say some things or rephrase some things? Let me see if my notes, if I got everything that I wanted to say to you guys. I think so. Yeah. So I think that's pretty much it. Thank you guys for anybody that joined live, and thank you for any of you guys watching the replay. I'm available for questions, and reminder again, I have a free workshop about soul constellations and how the soul constellates our egoic soul, the ego layer of our soul. That would be this Sunday. Sign up is free and it's linked in my bio, but you can also DM me and I'll send you the link for it. And also DM me any questions you may have. I'm hoping, you know, that this is just, if this discussion in itself isn't healing, that it's sort of ignited within you a journey towards healing and towards an expansion and an awareness of consciousness, an awareness of that sort of that oneness that we do exist in. With that said, yes, this it will be available for replay. I will post it here on my Instagram, and I will also I might download it and put it on YouTube and extract audio and put it on a podcast and try to like do that whole multimedia stuff. It will be available for replay. I do feel like, you know, this is such a deep topic and there's no way I could really do it justice here on Instagram Live. I could actually write books on this, and maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe I need to write some books on this. I don't know. But just to say that, you know, I just barely scratched the surface. I hope it was clear. Anything that I said that was false or untrue came from my ego. Please forgive me. And anything that I said that was true came from God's source. And I appreciate all of you. And I love you guys, dear hearts. Blessings. Take care. Peace.